The Bible uses many terms to describe the divine miracle of the rescue of sinners. It is like being born anew, becoming a new creation, being resurrected out of death into life, being adopted into the family of God, receiving the very nature of God, being washed clean, being set free from bondage, and many other statements. These varied metaphors are used to magnify the miracle and explain the nature of salvation. Consider, too, the terms used to describe God's work in the spirit of the penitent believer. He is saved, made safe from spiritual harm and danger. He is redeemed, set free from bondage to sin. He is ransomed, rescued by the payment of a great price. He is justified, declared innocent as if he had not sinned and given a status of acceptance with God. He is forgiven. Sins are taken away from him, so they never return. He is cleansed, washed free from any defilement caused by sin. He is regenerated, given new life, spiritual life in his spirit. He is converted, changed from his former course of life to a new and different way. He is made a new creation by the power and according to the purpose of God. Now, all three persons of Holy Trinity are involved in the saving of sinners. God the Father planned the way of salvation. God the Son perfected the way by the sacrifice of himself on the cross and his resurrection from death. And God the Spirit performs the regenerative act in the spirit of the repenting believer. Salvation is the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. However, this study will concentrate on the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation. Let us seek an answer to the question, why must the Holy Spirit work in salvation? Now, there are three elements of the answer which must be considered. First, the Holy Spirit must work in salvation because of the nature of sin. Second, the Holy Spirit must work in salvation because of the nature of man. And third, the Holy Spirit must work in salvation because of the nature of regeneration. Now, an understanding of those three issues will clearly declare the necessity for the work of the Holy Spirit in saving men and women. First, the Holy Spirit must work in salvation because of the nature of sin. Now, the Bible likens sin to a debt unpaid. An accounting is demanded. It is transgression against the holy law of God. Therefore, God must be satisfied with any dealing with sin. There are only two ways in which a debt may be settled. First, it can be settled by the full payment of the amount due, or second, it can be satisfied by being forgiven and canceled. Now, the payment of the debt of sin necessitates death, for the wages of sin is death, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So the sinner is already dead in his trespasses and sins and unable to remedy his sin problem. He cannot make payment of what is due. Now, it is not enough to try to stop sinning. Suppose a man was so seriously in business debts that he faced bankruptcy. He could resolve never to go $1 deeper in debt for the rest of his life, but that would not solve the problem of what to do with debts already outstanding. Now, there are many people who try to straighten up their lives in the hope that it will please God, but such a course ignores the obligation of sins already committed. So the only other recourse is to get the debt forgiven. Now, the one who can forgive a debt is the one to whom it is owed. Sin is against God, so God only can forgive sin. Any successful dealing with the sin problem, therefore, must involve a relationship with God. Every contact man has with God in this dispensation is through the Holy Spirit. It is essential that the Spirit be involved in every detail of the forgiveness of man's sin. Now, sin is forgiven only when the Holy Spirit is actively at work bringing man to God and God to man. So, secondly, the Holy Spirit must work in salvation because of the nature of man. Man is helpless in the realm of the Spirit when he is left alone. God says he is dead in his sins. Now, a dead person is incapable of doing anything for himself. That is why the works of a person can never effect his salvation. Man is helpless in his sin because he becomes a bond slave to the sin he commits. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Now that term servant is a very strong word. It means bond slave. It reminds me of Paul's statement in Romans 6, verses 16 and 17. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants are bond slaves to obey? His bond slaves, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Now ye were the servants, bond slaves of sin. Now as a bond slave of sin, man is unable to rescue himself. The prophet Jeremiah asked these self-evident questions. "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil." Now do you catch the thrust of the prophet's message? A sinner is as likely to quit his sin and love a holy life as the Ethiopian is to change his dark skin or the leopard to change his spotted colors. It is impossible to quit sin. Man is the bond slave of sin. Now Jesus recognized the impossibility of a man coming to God without divine aid. He said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." Now the drawing of the sinner toward God is the work of the Holy Spirit. He reproves, convinces, convicts, presents proof to the world of the reality and dread nature of the sin of unbelief, the uselessness and insufficiency of self-righteousness, and of the certainty of eternal judgment. That realization makes the sinner yield to the wooing of the Spirit, turning from sin to the Savior. No person makes that change without the work of the Holy Spirit. God calls before man responds. Now third, the Holy Spirit must work in salvation because of the nature of regeneration. Salvation is God's gift, not man's accomplishment. If salvation was the result of man's disciplined effort, some person might be able to attain it. But the Bible says, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord." It is not effected by works of righteousness which we have done, but rather by His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. God has said, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now who is the natural man? Well, he is man as he is by nature, apart from the redeeming work of God's Holy Spirit. What is his problem? He cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Now, that is why salvation is God's gift, not man's accomplishment. Consider some of the metaphors used in the New Testament to picture salvation. It is a spiritual birth into spiritual life. And since one becomes a child of God through that spiritual birth, it is a birth in which God does the begetting. Man is not born of the blood of parents, nor of sexual desire, nor the impulse of man's design. He is born of God. Only God can effect such a spiritual birth. So settle the issue once and for all. You can no more save yourself, nor raise yourself into spiritual life, than you could end your physical death by raising yourself into physical life. The person who is dead in sins and the uncircumcision of the flesh must have aid from outside himself, divine aid, to live the eternal life which is enjoyed by the saved. So turn all confidence from yourself. Place it not in any person or thing. Settle all attention and confidence and dependence and faith in Jesus Christ alone. Turning from sin to God through Jesus Christ, permit the Holy Spirit to exercise His blessed ministry of making you spiritually alive and borning you into the family of God. You can be born again. So turn to God right now and permit Him to do that blessed regenerative miracle in your spirit.